and Mike, our leaders, approached me and asked if I would help form a transition team to think and plan and pray through the next phase of our church life, our journey together. Somewhat of a daunting privilege, but something which I've been privileged to lead a group could we call the transition team in thinking through some of those things. The purpose was to plan the future and ultimately to help us find replacements for Ian and Mike, who are due to retire from their leadership around Easter this coming year. It was a daunting privilege, a blank sheet of paper, Ian described it as, which was quite refreshing in a way, no real limits, other than, of course, Scripture. But nonetheless, a blank sheet of paper to think and pray and dream, really, to dream. So originally we called it the Dream Team, actually, as we got together. And actually it's been a real joy to serve with some great people. Just to be clear, Jamie has been on the journey with me, John and Hazel Morris, Susanna Salt, and James Rose. And it's been a great joy to meet. We've met pretty well most of the time on Zoom, which has kind of proved its own kind of, had its own limitations, but nonetheless, we've been able to meet on Zoom. And the instructions from Ian and Mike originally were quite simple. Pause, pray, and reflect. Which I think was really right, actually. Not to rush into planning and ideas and strategies. And that's what we did. We paused, we prayed, and we reflected. And we did that pretty well for 6 months, meeting every fortnight. What we didn't do was kind of devise a plan or come up with a strategy or even list out what each of us thought was important for the future. We really wanted to avoid that. Instead, we did what Ian and Mike suggested, and we paused, prayed, and reflected, and we really sought to listen to what the Lord would say to us. It's his church, and we wanted him to lead us. That perhaps seems quite a radical thing to do, but it shouldn't be, should it? That should be the norm. In leadership, we should be pausing, praying, and reflecting on what the Lord is saying to us, and then to follow. So throughout this time, our prayer was, Lord, show us the way ahead for Salford. Let your kingdom come. And of course, God did speak to us, as he always does, if we approach him. We had scriptures which came to us, which were very instructive and helpful. Pictures were given to us. And some of the team even had dreams, which was quite remarkable. And of course, we had a lot of contributions from all you good folks too. So thank you for all those valuable contributions. People sent us messages, more scriptures, prophetic words, and they were all considered, every single one of them. We also involved the house groups, if you remember. We asked the house groups to set aside an evening just to evaluate what is really good about Salford. What are the things which you really need to cling on to? What are things which are important? And that was a really helpful contribution. And also, you remember, we did 24 hours of prayer back in May, June time last year. And that too fed into our thinking. So thank you. Thank you to everyone for your contributions. It's been much appreciated. It's not been a lone journey of a small group of us, but we sought to represent the whole congregation as we seek God's will. That led up to last July, where we presented four words or four phrases which we felt God had laid on our hearts. So these weren't things which we kind of pre-prepared or planned. These are things, this is a distillation of what we felt God was saying to us. Four themes, if you like. And just in case you weren't here, or as a reminder, if you were, there were these four words: blessing, togetherness, ministry, and power. So at the start of 2022, we thought it'd be really good to remind everyone of these things which we felt the Lord has been saying, and to go into a little bit more depth. So today we're starting with Jamie, who's speaking on power in the Spirit. We rely on the Lord himself. He sent his Spirit to guide us, to lead us into all truth, to counsel us, to be our comforter. And so Jamie's going to explore a bit more about that with us in just a moment. Next week, I'll be speaking on the one on ministry to our neighbours. Then James and Susanna jointly will be talking on togetherness in the Father's family. And finally, the culmination will be John and Hazel speaking to us, explaining to us what it means to have blessing, to receive blessing from the Father's heart. So that's where we're headed in the last 4 weeks, and I hope you're as excited as I am about what the Lord might continue to say to us as we head into the future. It's a journey. We're on a journey of faith. I don't know where we're headed this year, to be honest, but isn't that an exciting place to be dependent on God and to see him so that all the glory goes to him when we eventually look back and see what he has done and who he's led us to. You'll know that we placed some adverts in the various media, and so far we've had two applicants for the role of church leader. That's a role, a paid role, to replace Ian. And we're meeting actually on this Thursday where we'll begin to start thinking about how we take the next stage in terms of interviews and process and so on. So two applicants so far. There's still opportunity. We've got 3 weeks. The application period is the end of this month, January 31st. So still 3 weeks. So can I encourage you, if you've got family, friends, networks of folks who you might want to pass the information pack on to. And by the way, the information pack looks like this. I think it's been sent around by email. If anyone wants hard copy, then just ask and I'll happily print off hard copy. Please pass on this opportunity. You never know where it might get to and who might feel prompted to apply. So please do that. But more than that, please pray. Next 3 weeks, that God will be leading us to that right person or people. And there might be someone out there, somewhere around this world, who will just sense that God's calling on them and might be the exactly right person. To you.
You hear me all right? Yeah? No? We'll get there. I'm turned on. That's always a good plus. Yeah, I'm on. Sorry. So, I am excited to be with you here this morning. For most of you that know, I'm going to try and stick within this bit for the cameraman's benefit, but I will be moving, so bear with me. But yeah, I have been given the opportunity to speak on the power in the Holy Spirit, and I'm excited because up until about 8 o'clock this morning, I was still preparing this service. Not out of me not wanting to prepare it, but because I was just letting God lead in what he wanted to say. And so throughout the week and the weeks to come, I've been praying and seeking him. And I really felt that God had given me a message to give you. And then between Sarah and Andy, they spoke two-thirds of the message that I was already going to give. But that's how you know God's in it, because God's already spoke it through other people. So that's great. So for those of you who've got Bibles, we will look a big part of the text at Acts 2. You might want to get that ready, but we are going to do a whistle-stop tour throughout the Holy Spirit, throughout the Bible, but I've pre-prepared some of the ones on the visuals. That might be helpful for some of you to follow along. But for those of you that maybe don't know, I'm the youth and children's worker here, and so I love to work with young people and children more than I love working with you guys. It's not a bad thing, I promise. It's just I prefer that. And why do I prefer that? It's because in the midst of standing this morning or sitting in the silence, one of the young children turned to his dad and went, "Daddy, I love you." Right as we're all meeting with God and we're trying to sort of commune with God, that is exactly what we should have come this morning going, "Daddy, I love you." Now, I hate it when people say, "Daddy, God," but you know, you get the sentiment. God, I love you. You are my father and I want to love you with everything that I have. So I hope that sort of communes as we look through the scriptures today as well. Secondly, I love Jason breakdancing. Like, that is wholesome. Like, all of you lot should be getting up doing some of that down here. Like, there's space for everyone. You're more than welcome. But I love that and love seeing kids do that. And they're just unfiltered. Kids are honest and unfiltered. And it's so much joy to be with them and to learn scripture with them. But I'm hopefully here to deliver some of that to you guys today as well. So, side point, I always notice that for those of you that know me, I'm from a Pentecostal background. And whenever we seem to do a Holy Spirit series or talk on the Holy Spirit, somehow my name gets mentioned in this. And I think there's something iffy going on there, you know what I mean? But the Lord has his hand on it, so I'll try not to get too overpowered in the Pentecostal way for you and keep it sound. But it's all based in Scripture, it's fine. You can't go wrong when it's based in Scripture. So we're looking at the power in the Holy Spirit. We'll start here in a moment. But first of all, in my preparation, I was led to do some Hebrew work. Now, there's a word that I want you all to pronounce with me, because I spent all week learning it, and I'm still going to butcher it. It's Ruach. Ruach. It's going to be a big Liverpool beginning. Ian can probably nail this, to be fair. Daniel, Ruach, I think. Is that right, Danny? Am I good there? Pretty close, thanks. And it means breath, spirit, presence of God. It's intertwinable in those things. And we're going to see that in a moment in the Old Testament, this word, Ruach, being used for spirit and presence of God and the breath of God. So here's where I come to my first point. And so we're going to do a Bible overview, a quick Bible overview of the Holy Spirit. So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over it. So there we go. In the beginning, the Spirit was there. Next point. Genesis 2 verse 7. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Now, I'm pretty certain it's the same word being used in this sentence as well. Danny might correct me, but I'm sure when I was reading, that's what it said. So again, that sort of Spirit of God being breathed directly into man, into Adam, as God forms him. We move forward, we jump forward again. It's a real whistle-stop tour. Stick with me. I'll try and slow down. I realize I may be speaking very quickly for some of you. The Lord was with Joseph, so the presence of God was with Joseph, so that he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian masters. But when Joseph was, and then we move forward, sorry, he's been put in prison, the whole Potiphar issue. If you know your Bible, Potiphar's wife tries to seduce Joseph, is like, no, and she gets angry and puts him in prison, pretty much, short version. But while Joseph was in prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. See, again, Joseph has the presence of God, this Spirit of God that is next, jump into another big man in the Bible, David. And so 1 Samuel 16, verse 13 and 14 says this. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him being David, in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. Samuel then went to Ramah. And this is one of the interesting points. Now, the Spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord tormented him. See, from what I can tell in my Old Testament workings out, is that the Spirit of the Lord was available to a person for a specific thing for God to do his ministries in that time, in that place. And then it moved on to another person. This is one of the places that I came to when I was looking at that, is that God was just there with one person for a specific time in his spirit, and then the spirit moved on to someone else that needed it, for whatever reasons that may be. And that spirit obviously was given to David to lead the people of Israel. Next, I came to the prophets. Now, though, I didn't want to have to go through every single book of prophecy, but trust me, they're in there. There's a space where it talks about God meeting his spirit being upon the prophets. And then in 1 Peter 1, verse 21, it says, for prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Again, the Spirit of God descended upon the prophets individually as time went on to deliver a message to the people of God. And then we come to a turning point, as it were. We see Jesus, just a man, but also fully God, and that's a whole other thing in itself. But we meet Jesus about to be baptized by John the Baptist, and it's Mark 1, 9 to 11 says this. And that time Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open, and the Spirit descended on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. Again, the Spirit descends on one person for a specific time, for a specific reason. And this happens to be the Son of God that the Spirit descends on. And again, the voice of the Lord speaks out. The changing point is here in Acts 2. Now, I know this is why I said get it ready in your Bibles, because I know in the building that is tiny. This is for the use of people at home that maybe don't have a Bible at hand by their computer. You should be able to see that text. I did check it on my own laptop. It was readable, but we never know through the bit rate that converts onto online. If not, go and find a Bible for Acts 2, and we will read Acts 2 together. I have one pre-prepared. If you haven't got a Bible and you would like a Bible, raise your hand now. I should have said that earlier. That's good. I'll read it out loud anyway. Acts 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like a blowing of the violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire then that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. And the Spirit enabled them now. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each of them heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they said, "Are not all of these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us is hearing them in our own native tongue?" And then there's a bunch of tongues that I'm not even going to attempt. Moving on to verse 11. Both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonder of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked at one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11 and raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will turn to darkness and the moon of blood before the coming of the great glorious day of the Lord. And everyone will call on the name of the Lord will be saved." Stop there. This is the point when the Holy Spirit is no longer a single gift for a single person for a single place. This is the point, and from what I can read, again, I'm not the most biblical scholar, but I have been through the Old Testament. This is the only point I can find where multiple people are filled with the Spirit at the same time. Obviously, we now move on from Acts. There's more of that, but from now at this point, multiple people are filled with the Spirit. And what are they filled for? Well, Joel goes on to say, and this is going back to the original prophecy that we just read in Acts, "And afterwards I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days." It's big. I love it though. It's exciting, and it should excite us, because that's exactly what happens. When we receive the Holy Spirit, God is empowering us to do things within this world. And what does that look like? Well, we'll move on to that in a moment. But first, I want to show that it's not just for Jewish people. Now, at this point, we're still advertising this to the Jews. If you're a Jewish person, if you believe that Jesus died and rose again and you're Jewish, you can have this power. That was what was originally being told. But then we see later in Acts 11, verse 15, and I think this is Peter, not 100%, I'm sure it is. He goes on to say, "As I begin to speak," he's speaking to Gentiles. So he's gone to a house of some Gentiles. Gentiles were just non-Jews. He's gone to a house of some Gentiles, and he has gone in there because God has sent him there. Actually, God sent a messenger from the house to come and get him, to come and bring him to the house. And Peter then sort of delivers the gospel message, and it says, "As I begin to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them," those that are in the house. as he had come on us at the beginning. Then I remember what the Lord had said, John baptized with water, but you will baptize with the Holy Spirit. So if God gave them the same gift that he gave us, who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could stand in the way of God? We have all been given this opportunity. When we accept Jesus, we accept the gift of the Holy Spirit that is given to us. It empowers us. It equips us. It's that power that we can move forward in and do God's work. So the same power that kept Joseph safe in prison, the same power that helped David defeat Goliath, the same power that brought fire from heaven for Elijah, the same power that raised Lazarus from the dead, the same power that healed the paralyzed man, the same power that released the first apostles into the early church is available to each and every one of us. That same power of the Spirit that did all those things that we read about in the Bible, and go, isn't that amazing that those things happened? That same power lives within each and every one of us. We just have to let it be released. We have to commune with God. We have to reach out and really wrestle with what he wants for us. And then we can feel what he has to release us into. Now, that could be some of us. It could be prophecy. It could be dreams. It could be visions. It could be healing. It could be raising people from the dead. I don't know. I'm not God. But that same power that was delivered to these early apostles and all these people before us is given to each and every one of us. All we have to do is access it. How do we do that, you might say? Well, that's what we're going to be doing this morning. I'm not really here to preach 100 words at you anymore. I'm here to create a space, and hopefully between me and the worship team, we can create a space where we can come and commune with God this morning. We could be here for 45 minutes, we could be here for 10 minutes, it could be here for 3 hours. I'm open to that. I mean, I know some of you might want to get home and put a roast on, but do you know what I mean? I'm not going to get in the way of God anymore. And so what we're going to do this morning is create just this space for the Holy Spirit to come and meet with every single one of us. I don't know what that even looks like yet, but we're going to hope and pray and seek God together. So for the moment, I just want us to be. I don't know where you've come from this morning. I don't know what you've left at home to try and come to church or what things are going on in your life. But right now, I want us to lay those things before the cross of Jesus. Whatever you may think that might just get in the way of you and God communion, just lay them at the foot of the cross. Pray for forgiveness. Pray for the Lord's presence to be with you. We're going to spend a time of just silence. I don't know how long for. I hope God will lead me from there. But yeah, just spend this time. There's no reason. We're way above time of what we would normally finish. So there's no reason to be worrying about, oh, but I get home, I got to do this, I got to do that. Just spend this moment being with your Savior.